Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you're listening in Madison and North Florida, you are so welcome today as part of our listening family right here on WMAF. And if you're listening by computer, anywhere in the United States, anywhere on planet Earth, praise God. We're so glad that you have joined us today. And if you have downloaded this teaching from our website, we're glad you came. We hope you come back again. We pray that we can be a blessing to you by offering you, without cost, without charge, many different tools and sermons on many different subjects that I believe will both intrigue us and challenge us and inform us. Praise God. You know, the Bible said, my people, God's own people, perish many times for a lack of knowledge, and we go into captivity, another verse says in the Old Covenant, because of a lack of knowledge. Well, we don't want that to happen to anyone today. We want to inform you. You know, Jeremiah 3:15 said, and I will give you pastors after my own heart, and they'll feed you with knowledge and understanding. So we want to bring that soul food to you today. And I'm not talking about collard greens and cornbread. I'm talking about something for your spirit. So don't miss this broadcast today. Amen. And if you would like to come to our website, let me just begin by saying that you can type in THCOG. And Google it on that big search engine, and we'll come up at the top of the list, and it'll take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where I've been privileged and honored to be the senior pastor since 1974. If you do the math, we're getting ready to celebrate 38 years in January of ministry here in Tampa, and we're so glad today to be still holding God's standard and bringing the good news of Jesus to all who will hear it. And if you're not a Christian today and you've been listening to this point, to this radio station, something is drawing you to these songs of praise. Maybe it's the family you were raised in, your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, someone who sown seeds of faith in you. Amen. And you're drawn to the hope that is coming through these songs of faith. Well, listen to the gospel that inspired every single song today. Amen. God loves you. Don't turn the dial right now. Praise God. Be our guest today. Amen. And listen to the Word of God. We want to begin this message today by having kind of a preliminary statement about God and judgment to come. Judgment is coming, although you don't hear it preached or taught on. It's very clear in Scripture. God doesn't stammer or stumble at the reality that without Jesus, we are not in any way found worthy to stand before His scrutiny as our judge. And He's coming to judge the world as sure as He's coming to save and to take those that are sealed by the Spirit to live with Him forever. The world will experience, outside of the kingdom of God, surely will experience His judgment, and rightfully so. But He doesn't will. I love this about our God. Both the Old and New Covenant, the New Testament said it is not His will, listen carefully, that any should perish, but that all might have eternal life. He doesn't will. No matter how wicked we are, or how offensive our sins are to His holiness, God doesn't will that any perish. That includes you today. Amen. It included me. He doesn't will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. Praise the Lord. In the Old Testament, He said to His own covenant people, when they were straying and walking in rebellion and sin, He said, I put two ways before you, life and death, cursing and blessing. Choose life, that you might live, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. You know what that means? God would rather pardon you than judge you. God would rather save you than punish you. And the reason he can't just do that without you receiving Jesus Christ is because of his holiness. God is a holy God. In fact, according to Isaiah, he's thrice holy. He's so holy, the angels that minister in his presence in Isaiah 6 said, "Holy, holy, holy art thou." And his holiness and our holiness are really not to be compared. They're not one and the same. The Bible calls all of the Christian community, amen, a holy nation in the New Testament. And the Bible challenges us to be ye holy as he is holy, in the sense of recognizing that God has called us to purity. But one thing we are not divine. And we are not absolutely pure like he is. The Bible says that he dwells in unapproachable light. God, by his holiness is obligated to judge sin. But he has made a way for sinners like you and me to be saved and to come out from under sin's power. And to be made holy through the shed blood of Jesus and our personal commitment to follow Christ instead of Satan. Not that we're earning salvation, but we're walking in light instead of walking in the darkness. Hallelujah. And the Bible said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. That blood sacrifice is applied to those that choose to follow Jesus rather than to follow Satan and sin. Amen. Listen carefully today. When we speak of the sure judgments of God, I want you to know that not one person will be judged that God will find pleasure in that. If you want to give God pleasure today, repent of your sin, come to know Christ as your Savior, let him wash you white as snow. And God delights in that. In fact, the Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels. Well, that means those that have preceded us to heaven, and that means God the Father himself and God the Son that's seated at his right hand. There's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. Just one person who changes the road you're on, who gets off that road to destruction, gets on that road to eternal life. I'm going to tell you, there's joy. It makes news in heaven. Praise God. And there's joy in the presence of angels. All of heaven stops to take note. The day that I came to Jesus, heaven rejoiced. And the day that you, if you're a Christian, came to Jesus, heaven rejoiced. Praise God. Want to lay a foundation for this teaching, because this teaching is going to bring forth the fact of judgment to come. But it's also going to bring forth the fact that we can be saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. Amen. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22. It's a word of warning and a word of hope. Maranatha is that word. And it says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, and then there's a pause, and then maranatha. There's a twofold meaning in this verse of Scripture. Anathema is a strong, strong word. Listen to what it means. It means a man accursed. It means devoted to the direst of woes. It means doomed to destruction, without hope of being redeemed. Who are these people that are anathema? Anathema, coupled with maranathema, means Christ is coming to judge the world that has rejected him as Savior. See, Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, the Scripture said. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came because the world stands condemned. And yet God doesn't want to punish us. He wants to save us from our sin and its consequence, from Satan and his influence, from ourself and our weaknesses. That's why he sent his only begotten Son to take our place on the cross and take our punishment, because he's too holy to let it pass. He can't just sweep it under the rug. His holiness obligates him to judge sin. And there's a dilemma here for us, but God has a wonderful plan to save us. How can he be just and holy and not judge sin? Because he judged our sin in his Son. You know, the Bible said in what many scholars call the gospel in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, it said, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse 5 said, "He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." Praise God. Oh, what a wonderful plan of salvation. How can I save man from his sin, from himself, and from Satan? I will judge his sin in my Son. And Satan, who holds the right to hold him in bondage and to point the finger of condemnation at him, and my holiness that obligates me to point the finger of condemnation at him, I can save him. Oh, friend of mine, I want you to know today the gospel is the greatest news that this world has ever received and could ever receive. That means people like you and me that live in a fallen world and have sinned against our Savior and our Creator, we can be saved. Our sins can be forgiven today. Praise the Lord. But to reject this, there's a scripture that said, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this?" You may be at a crossroads today. That crossroad of blessing and cursing, that crossroad of life and death. God wants you to choose life so that you may live. For he has no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. What a wonderful God we serve today. What great love is flowing to you and me right now from that old rugged cross. Hallelujah. The cross literally screams to a fallen world that has sinned against God, "I love you. I don't want to judge you. I don't want to punish you. I'll have to if you don't receive this offer of forgiveness through my Son, but I love you. It is not my will that any of you perish, but that all of you have eternal life." Praise the Lord. He loves you today. He hates our sin because it's destroying us. It's not just an offense to him. It's destroying us, we who are the object of his love. I'll tell you, if there's a rattlesnake in the backyard and one of my great-grandchildren are about to step on it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The snake is a threat in my backyard, and I'm not just going to chase him away because he may come back and bite my grandchild. I'm going to make sure that snake can't do my child any damage. Friend of mine, I want you to know today, God loves us. When he points out sin in our life, it's not because he wants to put us in some position of being belittled and cast down. He points it out because he wants to remove it. He wants to pardon it. Hallelujah. He wants to save us today. Praise the Lord. Listen very carefully to the twofold meaning here. Anathema coupled with Maranatha means Christ is coming to judge the world that has rejected him as Savior. I was at work back when I was bivocational for a few of those 38 years, for 12 of them, in fact. I worked in production, and I was at work, and someone came in the roar of all the production equipment, and they said, "Pastor Venable, what are the 7 deadly sins?" And we all know about gluttony and adultery and murder. You know, there's 7 designated deadly sins that I don't even know the origin of. But literally in Scripture, all sin is deadly. All sin is deadly. You know what the Bible said? It said, "He that offends in one point, is guilty of the whole law." Isn't that incredible? It's like if your car broke down and I came in my little S10 and backed up and put a chain, a 10-link chain, to pull you in. You know, it wouldn't matter which link broke. It wouldn't matter if they all broke at once. If six of them broke at the same time, if five of them broke, or two of them broke, or only one of them broke, the moment that chain broke, then we are separated from one another. And sin has separated us from God. You know, he said to ancient Israel, his covenant people, even in the book of Isaiah, in the old covenant, "My hand's not short that it cannot save. My ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. But your sin has separated between you and your God." Ah, friend, isn't it good to know that when Jesus hung on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth, that he was spanning the great gap, the great chasm that sin had created. He was taking the hand of God and fallen man that would receive salvation through Christ, taking the hand of a holy God and fallen man and saying, "Now there can be reconciliation. The wrath of God has been satisfied in Jesus' punishment, agony, tortured death at the cross, so that we can be saved and God can still be holy." Hallelujah! What a mighty God we serve. What a loving God. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. What a wonderful plan of salvation called the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not about fallen man in general. This is about specific fallen man who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can God forgive us who will not repent? How can God redeem us who will not receive the blood of Jesus offered to us in the place of our sin? How can he do it? He can't. So anathema becomes the hopelessness of those who reject the gospel, but Maranatha becomes the hope of those who receive Jesus as our Savior. It's a word of warning. Christ is coming to judge the world. And it's a word of hope. Maranatha, the Lord is come, that means, and the Lord will come for Christians in the first century and Christians in the 21st century. Maranatha is a word of hope and joyous anticipation. Christ is coming to receive his own to himself. Praise God. Smith's Bible Dictionary defines Maranatha as "our Lord cometh." That means it is unique to those who know Christ as their Savior. This word Maranatha, "come Lord, our Lord is coming for us." Hallelujah, is a unique word specific to those that know Christ as their Savior. Amen. Our Lord, praise God, he's coming for us one day. One commentator defines it as a watchword of first century Christians to express the thought, "our Lord cometh." So when they would greet them many times, they would say sometime in their conversation, either at the greeting or at the ending or both, "Maranatha, our Lord will come for us. Our Lord is coming for us." Oh, make no mistake about it, friend. Jesus is coming to receive his church, his bride unto himself. That's that secret coming of Jesus that Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. Our Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, at the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That first century church, as well as the 21st century church, began to experience intense persecution. And the comforting word was Maranatha. God is going to split the heavens. Jesus is going to come for us one of these days. And when he does, all of this will be behind us. And they looked up even though they were so pressured and so persecuted. I believe it's time to look up for the Christian community today. The coming of the Lord is drawing very, very near prophetically. And the Bible said when we see these things and they're negative signs that the end of all things is at hand, we can see these things coming upon the earth. When you see them, lift up your head. Don't hang your head like the world about you in despair and discouragement. Lift up your head, for these signs that are negative around us in the world about us signify that the coming of the Lord is near. So lift up your head. Maranatha, your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. I'm so glad to be saved today. You know, I'm not just saying this because I'm a profession. My profession is ministry. I am a Christian. Oh, that outweighs the ministry profession. In fact, I'm not in it as a job. I'm in it as a calling. I feel God's call in my heart to share the gospel with everyone who will listen. That's why I introduced myself not as just a pastor to the body of Christ and to my particular group at the church that God has allowed me and privileged me to lead in terms of pastoral oversight. Oh, no, it's far more than that. It is a man. I'm a man who has met Jesus. I'm a man whose sins have been forgiven. Somebody said the true way to share the gospel is like a man that is dying of thirst in a desert, that is sought everywhere for water and has given up all hope and now has accepted the inevitable, slow, assured death from dehydration and thirst. And the weakness is coming, the faintness is coming on him. And suddenly he sees something he thinks is a mirage, but as he gets closer, he sees it's an oasis. And there's palm trees for shade. And there's a spring of cool water to drink and be refreshed. And he drinks that water in the shade from the intense sun. And then he goes back out into that desert looking for other starving people. Other people who are dehydrating. And he says, come and follow me. I'll show you where there's an oasis. Hallelujah. And friend, that's what I'm doing on the radio today. I want to tell you there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ah, friend, there's nothing like knowing Jesus as your Savior. Praise the Lord. Judgment is coming because God is holy, and He must judge the world because of sin. But he has no desire that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. It would please God to the fullest that no one be lost, that no one experience his wrath. In fact, he judged our sin in his Son so that we wouldn't have to be judged for our sin. And that's called grace, unmerited favor. That's called mercy. Praise the Lord. They used to sing the little song in church, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to send his Son. He wasn't obligated to do that. He did it as a supreme act of love for you and for me, because he doesn't want to have to judge us and punish us. He wants to save us and seal us and secure us for heaven. If you're at that crossroad today, and somebody I believe is right now hearing this message, and you're about to make a choice, life or death, cursing or blessing, God is calling you to choose life, to choose His blessing, to choose, amen, His forgiveness today through Jesus Christ. It's not His will that any perish. Make no mistake about it. Judgments came in the old covenant, and judgment is coming to this generation, and judgment will come to the world globally. But God delights in mercy. How desperately He wants to save the lost, that He would give His own Son, that Jesus would die perfectly righteous, perfectly sinless, God incarnate, God in flesh, so that he could take our place at the cross, the just suffering for the unjust. He that knew no sin, being treated as a sinner, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Ah, friend, that's the good news. That's why there is hope, Maranatha, in the Christian community. Come, Lord Jesus. We don't dread your coming. We desire your coming. We want to see you, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, we don't want you to come prematurely just because we want you to come so desperately, because so many are lost. Help us, Lord, to reach those who don't know you. Help us to use every resource. Help us to use every moment. Help us to use all of our energies by the help of your Spirit. That's why the coming of the Lord hasn't taken place already. The Bible said because he's long-suffering in the New Testament, not willing that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. And you know who that's spoken to? Scoffers. The Bible said scoffers will come. They'll hear the message that Jesus is coming soon, and so many have predicted it, and it didn't happen down through time. And the Bible said no man knoweth the day or the hour, so anybody who predicts is condemned by Scripture for doing it, even ministers. He said, in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Be ready, because you don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen any time. And so just be ready. How do we be ready? Receive Jesus. Receive the righteousness that God grants us. And let that robe be our robe. And be ready for the coming of Jesus whenever it happens. Praise God. Amen. Because it's going to happen one of these days. And the watchword of the church in the first century, how much more should it be to the 21st century? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. People are scoffing more than ever because of the predictions that have failed. Where is the sign of his coming? Scoffers will come saying, where is the sign of his coming? For ever since our fathers went to sleep in the grave, all things continue as it is to this day. But the Bible said God is not slack concerning his promise. And don't they know, he said, that a day is as a thousand years with the Lord and a thousand years is a day? It's going to happen. The question is, are you going to be ready when it happens? God wants you ready. And I pray today, in the name of Jesus, if you don't know Christ is your Savior, you're at that crossroad today. Amen. And your future, there's one word to describe your future. It's anathema. God is obligated to judge you. Ah, but another word can be in your future if you turn to Christ, Maranatha. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm not afraid to stand in the presence of God because I know that you are my Savior, not judging me today. You're forgiving me. You're saving me. You're sealing me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give God your heart today. Pray that prayer today. It's not too late if you're on the wrong road. God allows U-turns. It's called repentance. Hallelujah. You can make a U-turn right there where you are today. You can come to know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. If you're a Christian today, you're cast down and you're downhearted because of what you see happening in the world about you. Amen. God says, when you see this, lift up your head. These end time conditions, lift up your head, Christian. Your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, we love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.